Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, from the Father, and from the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. Well, you're stuck with me again. And we're going to do a two-part sermon since I'm preaching here today and, Lord willing, next Sunday. And the title is, for both the sermons, Seeing and Hearing. And just as a way of introduction, I don't know how many of you besides me have been a little bothered by allergies in the last few weeks or months. I think it's been the worst since I've lived here, 22 years in the desert. I mean, I had allergy to mulberry trees back in the Midwest, but that was a whole different deal. But my goodness, nobody warned me about this in Arizona. I guess we brought all our trees with us here, right? Just the other day, actually more than once it's happened, I'm driving along the car, and all of a sudden my eyes are just burning. Is that happening? Itchy and burning, and I can't even drive. I literally have to pull off the road because I can't see. And that's very frustrating. And then the other day, my ear plugged up, and it was right with the Holy Week. And I'm thinking, Lord, this is not fun where you can't hear it all out of your ear. And when you sing, it sounds like you're singing into a tin can, and you can't tell if you're too loud or not. And I go, I'm supposed to be singing here. This is not fun where I can't hear, I can't see. And I got a little irritated about that. It was not fun. And even now, still the allergies of the eyes, it's like, okay, every time, now and then it'll burn. And one time, in fact, it was the middle of the service, and I had to go out and get some water for my eyes. It was burning so much, and Pastor Rick thought I was having a stroke. I thought, no, I'm not having a stroke, just my eyes are burning up. But anyway, the point is, it's very important to be able to see and to hear, right? And I take that for granted. And I didn't after those experiences of my seeing and hearing. I thought, man, this is not good. Thank you, Lord, for my eyes and ears, and as Luther says, and all my members, and my reason, and all my senses, and all that He gives us, we take for granted, right? We take it for granted. I do. Until you don't have it. But today I want to talk about our spiritual senses, because we can have physical senses working just fine. We can hear fine. We can see fine. Taste, and that's another thing. If you can't taste good food like what Doc cooked the other day, that's another thing where, anyway, I go on. And some people have metallic taste. That's all they taste is metal. Yeah. So we should appreciate that. But spiritually, we have spiritual ears and eyes to see what you can't see with our physical eyes and to hear what you can't hear with our physical ears, right? Right? And so today, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will help us all to have better vision. And that spiritually, He would give us these. Hello, Babby! Actually, I'm seeing Jesus behind Babby, and which is not a bad picture. Jesus over her shadow. May He be the vision, the focus point. And that's always a good focus, is having Jesus' picture when I'm preaching. I remind myself I'm preaching for Him. So anyway, we want to have better vision. We want to be able to see. If you turn these around, it does the opposite. So we need to know how to use these correctly. And may the Holy Spirit will seriously give us eyeglasses and binoculars to magnify the Lord, to see who He really is, and to understand Him. Because obviously, as what happened yesterday or didn't happen, there are a lot of people with misguided vision about God. It was crazy, just talking about that real quickly. I listen to a lot of sports radio besides Christian music. And these guys on the sports talk radio are having a field day with this. Last week, Friday, well, I guess we'll just get drunk because it's the end of the world. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't make plans. Maybe we won't be going to the game and broadcast the game. Ha, ha, ha. Having a big, just making fun of all this. And there was a Christian who called in the radio stage, the sports talk, and said, you know, I'm a Christian, and the Bible says that even Jesus, when He's here on earth, didn't know the hour. And it will happen. And all these that are just mocking this, if I were God, I would have come today just to show them. But I'm not God. I know. I'm just kidding. His time, and He's patient. He's kind. He's waiting for more people to repent to come to know Him, right? Having said all that, some people don't have the right vision. They can't see correctly. They don't know what God's all about. And even in the days of the Bible and the days in our text, the same thing is that people just couldn't understand, and they needed new glasses to be able to see. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Actually, more than giving new glasses, He does divine eye surgery, right? And He opens up our eyes to see what we couldn't see before, and the whole new world is in perspective. There's a commercial that talks about in the old days, back when I was young, watching black and white TV, remember that? And not having a channel changer. How did I survive where I had to get up and change the channel? I know there weren't that many channels, but still. Huh?
You were younger than
Is that what it was? Yeah, thank you so much. And messing with the rabbit ears to get the right reception, although some people are coming back to that now. But anyway. But then it talked about the next thing was what? Color TV. I remember the wonderful world of Disney on Sunday nights, right? And color. And Bonanza. And wow, that was really neat to see it in color. And that was Gunsmoke. Oh, that was a big deal, right? I mean, and then high definition TV, you know. Like, wow, my goodness. It just made things jump out. And now with this commercial about 3D TV, where you had your special glasses again you had to put on, right? Does anybody have that? Or I haven't. Oh, you don't need it now. And the commercial, it looks like these guys, these bad guys, jump out right at you. Does that really happen? I mean, come on. Oh, it does. Oh, well. Okay, then. Well, here, the point to all that is this, is that we want the verses of the Bible, for God to jump out of the Bible into our lives, into our laps, into our hearts, into our homes, into our schools, into our nation, into our world, into our churches. Because we can just have religion and not have God in the picture, or He's all around us, we can't see Him. It is so, sometimes we men, if I can confess as men, I'm not always the most, I don't see the most obvious things, you know, what people wear. Ladies will wear a dress or a blouse and say, "Pastor, did you notice my new outfit?" Yeah, it looks nice. Sorry about that. Sometimes we're oblivious to what's right in front of our face, right? Like glasses on the head. Where'd my glasses at? They're up here, you know, or something like that. Or different things. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us correct our vision. So to have 20/20 vision spiritually. Because in our text for today, Jesus was speaking. And then this is after Palm Sunday, and it's also right after Lazarus was raised from the dead. So there's a lot of talk. Can you imagine? I mean, Lazarus was raised from the dead. People saw him come out of the tomb after being dead 3 days. Do you think maybe there was some discussion about that? Oh, yeah. You bet. And people wanted to kill Jesus. Others wanted to make him king. And Lazarus, I bet he was a popular guy. I bet he had to go out in the desert. It's like, what is going on here? You know, and just a lot of talk about what really happened there. So there were some people that were Greeks that were not Jewish and God-fearers that had heard about all this about Jesus. So these Greek men, at great sacrifice and with some bravery, came to Jesus' disciples. And I love this phrase. They said to the disciples, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Every pastor, every teacher would love to have people say that, right? That they want to see Jesus. They want to see Jesus. And I've heard more than one elder of the church. I heard at least three different stories. One that had this young pastor who thought he knew it all. He'd been to seminary after all. And he knew all the Hebrew and all the Greek, and he was very articulate and had flowery language, and he could paint pictures with words. There's only one problem. He didn't talk about Jesus, didn't talk about God. And so this elder, Keith, his name was, very kindly put a little note on the pulpit, laminated and attached to the pulpit. And it was this verse, "Sir," very politely, "we would like to see Jesus." We'd like to see Jesus and hear from Jesus. In other words, your stories are great and all this and that, but we want to see Jesus here in this church. And I've heard of a couple other pastors that had that same note attached to their pulpit. And it's neat how Pastor Rick and I will be thinking the same things. It's really funny. And we'll have the same emphases, and we're different personalities, completely different, if you haven't noticed. But we come from the same place. It's just amazing. And you know, I was just thinking the same thing. Oh, me too. But one is that we keep focusing on Jesus Christ. And you've heard Pastor Rick say this all the time, right? And when he's gone, he reminds me. He always does this. And I like it. He says, "Just give him Jesus. Give him Jesus." You know? And that's a good reminder, because we get so wrapped up in all the things of the Bible, which are great, and all the things about religion and about the world and illustrations. But when it comes right down to it, who is this all about? It's about Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, and Jesus mentions this right after this. But, sir, pastor, Sunday school teacher, youth leader, we would like to see Jesus. There are a lot of people in this world They don't have a thing against Jesus. They have a lot of things against the church and about us Christians. I saw a bumper sticker. It says, "Lord, please protect us from your followers. Save us, deliver us, whatever, from your followers." And because of a lot of the what we do and what we say is not Christ-like, and they view us and they go, "Well, if that's what it's all about, forget it. Count me out." So a lot of pastors are calling people of their church Christ followers, not church members. Even the word Christian has been misused today. Christian country, I'm a Christian, what does that mean? I don't wear a cross a lot. If I do, I wear it underneath to remind me about Jesus, because it's like bling now. It's like jewelry. That is not a piece of jewelry. Well, it can be, and the cross was changed by his resurrection, but you know what I'm saying, right? It's not just popular jewelry. Somebody died on that. And not just somebody, God gave up his very son on that, but then raised him from the dead, right? So, what do we do to help people see Jesus in our lives? What do we do to help people see Jesus spiritually right here in the service, in the worship, right? In the way we welcome people. Now, I have a question. Do you know that Jesus, obviously he's not here physically, but he is here spiritually, but you're his hands, you're his feet, you're his mouthpiece, right? So when people see you, hopefully they see Jesus. When they see me, I hope they see Jesus. And it goes beyond that, you know, that we are God's instruments. Well, I think you mentioned last week about a Christian, what a Christian is, a follower. There was a statue of a church in Germany after World War II and the bombing and all those beautiful churches, so many were destroyed, and the church was partially destroyed, and they had a statue of Jesus that was out there in the front of the courtyard of the church, and it was partially destroyed. And the hands of Jesus were off. So it had Jesus, but no hands and no feet. And I don't know exactly what it looked like, but I want just the illustration said no hands and feet. And the pastor used that as an illustration. He says, you know, we become Jesus' hands and feet. Right? You're his hands, you're his feet, you're his voice. But it goes back to this, and this is what I really want to talk about today, is how do we see? How can we improve our vision? How can we see better? And I just want to read a poem from this one book, Eyes That See. First of all, we want to see Jesus. We're going to sing that later, a cappella, Beautiful Savior. If we really see Jesus, we see how beautiful, how incredible this man among all men is, because he's God in the flesh. I remember watching a old video on, I think, TBN years ago. I think it was Dean Jones or somebody who played Paul. And Paul was in jail, and he was talking to some... No, it couldn't have been Paul. It was... there was a reason for this. It was John, because he was talking to this other person in jail, having seen Jesus, been with him, what he's like, and he sat down, he said, "Oh, the look in his eyes, when we saw Jesus, and he'd look at all of his disciples, he looked at us like no one else looked at us. There was such love and strength behind those eyes, and it's like when he looked at you, he looked right through you and still loved you." And I still remember this video, gosh, it must be 25 years ago, just that little part of it. The actor, the way he portrayed John, and how he was never the same after being with Jesus, right? And seeing Jesus. Well, we can't see him physically, but we can sure see him spiritually. And here's this poem about, first of all, Jesus' eyes. We look full into his wonderful face first. Jesus, your eyes, full of fire, righteous flames, exposing, sifting, analyzing, full of fire, burning embers, melting, molding, transforming. Jesus, your eyes, full of longing, searching for hearts perfected, hearts yielded, hearts devoted. Your eyes, full of longing, revealing passion, strength, might, perfect love, pure love. Jesus, your eyes, full of wisdom, illuminating counsel, guidance, understanding. Jesus, your eyes, full of wisdom, revealing truth, secrets, mysteries. Jesus, your eyes, love, life, light. So how can we see better? First of all, look in the eyes of Jesus. the author of this book says, during a time of meditation, prayer, and study, I saw a spiritual vision, which is very similar to the prophet's visions in the Old Testament. I saw the throne room in heaven with eyes everywhere. The backdrop of the vision was made up of shimmering, pulsating, and illuminating light everywhere. I saw nothing except the emerald green backdrop, the eyes, and a throne made of fiery flames. I saw no human form, only the flames of his throne and his fiery presence. The eyes varied in size, appearance, and color, but they were all beholding the Lord on his throne. The Lord revealed that he was about to release increased visionary perception of his presence and glory on his people. Get that? And I think she's right. We are seeing more about God than before, right? How's your eyesight? Are you seeing Him? We sing that song in Kersia, and we've sung it here. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look. Open your eyes. He'll show life to you. Have you ever looked at the sunset with the sky mellow and red and the clouds suspended like feathers? And I said, then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you ever stood at the ocean with the white foam at your feet? Felt the endless thundering emotion, then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you ever looked at the cross with a man hanging in pain and the look of love in his eyes? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you stood in the family with the Lord there in your midst, seeing the face of Christ in each other? Then I'd say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Amen? Take a look. Open your eyes. He's here in plain view. He's all over the place. And we thank God for that. So how can we have better vision? How can we have eyesight that discerns Jesus' presence, that discerns the signs of the times, that can see the potential in other people, to see in them what they can't see in themselves? Because that's what Jesus would do, like with Peter and others, right? He'd look in and say, Peter, you're a rock. Oh, and the disciples go, all right, Peter the rock, come on. Doubting Thomas, a strong man of faith who was a martyr, we believe, in India. Jesus looked into hearts of people, saw that woman caught in adultery, and saw a woman who's going to live a life of purity after that. And Jesus has seen the potential in you. When others saw you cast out drugs, alcohol, sent to jail, sent to prison, Jesus was in that cell seeing the best in you and pulling the best out of you. A good coach, a good counselor, a good teacher brings the best out of people, right? Or a manager. Anybody, really. We're called to bring the best out of our kids, grandkids, to pull it out that God has put in there, right? And it takes vision to see that. It's like an architect can see, we see an empty lot of rock and desert growth, or lack thereof. An architect sees this beautiful building ahead of time. How can we see the potential? How can we see what can be? How can we see God's presence? How can we see His kingdom, have kingdom eyes? How can we see prophetically? Batty went to a meeting with Joy and Robin last Friday where this very perceptive pastor had words of, if I can say this, Batty, talked about words for each one of them without ever meeting them. And talked about Batty, what was playing to the tune of a different drummer? And we go, boy, that's true for Babby, right? And having words, specific words to each of them that melted their hearts and brought them to tears. Because it wasn't that this guy was so all that. It's that God used that person to encourage them and to encourage us. So God wants to fine-tune your vision so you see Him. And then as you see Him, you see others in a better light. See circumstances in a better light. Have a different perspective. I got to bring some racing illustrations out here because Indy 500 is next Sunday and the time trials are going on about 10 minutes. But anyway, I digress. But seriously, a Thursday they had practice with Indy 500 and there's a 23-year-old gal from Switzerland, a Simona De Silvestro, who had a horrific crash. Her car crashed into the wall several times. Thank you, Doc. It is getting a little warm here and hot air. The car crashed into the wall, went upside down, went down the back stretch, or front stretch, a long stretch of track. And while the car's upside down, the car's on fire. And Simona suffered second-degree burns over her hands. And this is Thursday. Time trials were yesterday. And they weren't sure if she's going to be cleared to drive yesterday. Well, she was cleared. But she had to overcome her fear to get back in that car and drive. And what's worse, it was her backup car. And what's worse, they had to take out some of the trim in the wing, which means it wasn't going to be stable. That it could go anywhere on the track, and they were hoping that with her talent, she'd be able to hold the car together to be able to qualify for the Indy 500. But think about this. Did she have fear? Yes. She said her hands, her burning hands, were trembling. And she went back in that car. And she had to face that fear. And she was like 23rd place yesterday, and hopefully she won't get bumped today. But I emailed her and the team. I said, that was an example of having facing your fears and moving forward, right? Because it would have been very easy to go, I can't get back in that car. And she could see ahead beyond the pain of her hands to what could be. And I thought about my life, how we can be so paralyzed in life and we can't see beyond what's happened in the past. And we keep driving, looking in the rearview mirror. Well, you can't drive forward if you're looking in the rearview mirror. If you do, you're going to get in trouble, right? Look in the windshield. And I remember Jim Whitney talking as a professional truck driver. Don't just look to the cars ahead of you. A good driver looks way beyond. So you're not just looking at the car in front. You're looking beyond, farther out vision. And we're called to do that. Look beyond what's going on now. The big picture. And Jesus is in the picture. The thing is, sometimes we take him out of the picture. We think, oh, what a nice frame. Take Jesus out and put something else in that beautiful frame. Don't do that. But Satan is always doing that to me. Is he doing that to you? He's taking Jesus out of the picture. He's putting me, my picture. No, not me. Or somebody else. Or nothing. I've been through that where I felt like this is my life. An empty frame with nothing in it. And then Jesus says, oh. He walks right in 3D and that picture comes alive, right? It's like the voyage of the Dawn Treader of the Chronicles of Narnia. This picture of this water. All of a sudden, the water comes and fills the room. And they're going, whoa, what's going on here? This is a little too realistic. But that's what happens when we have kingdom eyes to see. Now, how can we see? We have to ask, first of all, ask for the doctor. Go to the eye doctor and say, Lord, I'm not seeing correctly at all. I am cross-eyed. I'm all mixed up. Help me be cross-eyed in the right sense to look at the cross. And then my vision is perfected. So we go to the cross. We admit our blindness, that by nature we're spiritually blind. We can't have perfect vision to see what God's doing. Jesus lived in perfect vision with the Father. We can't. I can't. But I ask God, forgive me for my blindness all the time. Correct my surgery every day so I can see what you see. So we repent and we take things out of our lives that affect our vision. We do so many things that obscure our vision. Right? That all of a sudden can't see. It's all foggy. Everything's all foggy. And so we go from repentance, and then we ask the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of my heart. Not in my head, or in my head. But you have eyes in your heart. Do you know that? Heart is the center of your emotions, of who you really are. And the eyes of your heart see with the soul. How well does your soul see? Sometimes we can see angels, literally. Sometimes we can see the Holy Spirit, literally. Or we can sense His presence. We can see with the eyes of faith, oh, there's somebody here, all right. And maybe you can sense Him. Can you see Him now? He's in plain view, right? He wants to help you look and open your eyes. He's in plain view. It also is a matter of calming our mind of all the other pictures in our mind flashing around us. We got to do this. Pictures of grocery stores and going to the work and the bus stops and get my car fixed. I got a picture of this. I got a picture of my kids, my family. I got a scowling mother-in-law. I got this or a nice mother-in-law. Or I've got a dad who I can't please. I see his frowning picture. I see pictures that are unclean in my head. All these pictures. And God says, let me put a new picture in. So we have to ask Him to give us a new picture of Him. So when we see Him, everything changes. There was a college student that had some pretty, dirty pictures in his room, and his parents went to visit. And he forgot about them. He'd become so accustomed to them that they were just aghast to see this stuff. And they thought, you know, we got to say something. I thought, don't they just, if they yell and scream, how's that going to work, right? That ain't going to work with a college kid. So the dad put up a picture of Jesus in his dorm room and walked out. And they came back later. Things were different. All the other stuff, the junk, the pinups were gone. And yeah, the kid got flack, but it was a great sermon without any words, you know. When we look to Jesus, everything else changes. So that's the key, is look to Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to give us vision. We're going to have that prayer right now. Get rid of the uncleanness, the defiled vision of judgment, bitterness, hatred, pride, selfishness, the narrow vision that only sees right in front of us, the religious vision that looks on man's own ability and doing God's work man's way instead of looking at the heart, the sleepy vision, where it's just our eyes become sleepy or lazy eye. All that can be remedied and changed right now. And so let's pray that God gives us vision that we would see Jesus. As in our text, Isaiah was quoted about having eyes but cannot see and being blinded. Yes, because of our own blindness, eventually these people, their own blindness, God blinded their eyes because they said, okay, you want to be blind all the way? Boom! There you go. You don't want to see? Fine. Because God is hidden in a way, but He wants to be revealed. So let's pray that we have eyes of wisdom and revelation. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts now. Forgive us for the blindness and the blind spots we all have. Open the eyes of my heart. Grant me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open my eyes to behold Your glory and the glory of Your kingdom, Lord. With so many false seers, so many false prophets and teachers, help me to have eyes that clearly see You as who You are. Lord, we ask that You help give us eyes to discern Your presence, Your plans, and Your ways. We desire spiritual perception to understand the signs of the times, to help us to see potential as the 2 spies out of the 10 that went into the promised land, and the 2 saw something different. The 2 saw that they could conquer the land because they saw You. When Joshua and Caleb saw, they saw something different. Lord, when You saw this world, You saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You saw things in a spiritual perspective. When Elisha's servant was scared to death, Elisha prayed that God would open his eyes and he saw thousands of angels, chariots of fire all around him. Lord, we ask that You help us to see. Help us to see You. Help us to see others in Your light. Help us to see Your kingdom. That You want us to reach out to people to be Your hands and Your feet, Your tongue, to declare Your message to others. So right now, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask You to perform eye surgery now. Help us to see. And as we take the bandages off of the painful repentance and the surgery You perform to clear the dirty pictures, the unclean pictures, or the no pictures, that now we have You in the frame. And everything comes full of color and 3 dimension. And Lord, Your Word jumps out. And Your Spirit jumps into our lives, out of the pages of the Bible, into our lives and into our heart, to live a life of adventure. Open our eyes. In Jesus' name. Amen.